The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is, I almost said March. It's February 26th right now, 2025. I feel like I almost said March because it's almost March. And March is a busier month for me. I've got like my birthday, that stuff going on. My parents are coming back. So I've been making all these plans for March. So I'm like, it's March. But it's not March yet.
And even though February is only a few days shorter, it just seems like it flies by, I feel like.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm ready for March because that means we're getting closer to spring. Spring's technically the end of March. We had a couple days of nicer temperatures here, which is great. And I sent on Patreon, but I've talked about the turkeys on here as well. I have like a group of 20 turkeys. And then for the last 2 months, I haven't seen them. Like, where did they go? I don't know.
Like, hibernate or something? I don't, like, it's someone's like, you're so dumb, as if turkeys hibernate, but I'm sure they go somewhere for the winter and stay warm.
I'm sure they just, like, chill. They don't, like, migrate or anything, I don't think, but I haven't seen them for a while since it got pretty cold, and then it was, like, in the 50s, higher 40s the last couple days, which is still pretty cold, but just way warmer than it has been. And I got an alert on my camera and I looked and there they were, like all 25 of them just in the yard, pecking back at the again. Ground, looking back for bugs. Yep. And I was like, they're back. Thank God. And it looks like there could be some new ones. Like, I don't think they would have had babies yet, but I don't know. They're just, some of them seem small. Maybe they had a tough winter.
Yeah,
they were hungry.
That's funny because when you mentioned the end of March, the end of March being spring here for us, it's 1st of March. So 1st of March will be autumn fall here. So that's like literally, today's the 27th. So in a day and a bit, it'll be all over.
Your time is over.
Yeah. Even the other morning, my kids wake up. They're like, it's so dark. I'm like, I know.
I know. It's getting lighter here finally. I mean, it is dark right now at 6 p.m., but, you know, it used to get dark before 5, so.
Well, that's good, Alicia. I guess everyone has to have a turn.
Yeah. I also got another camera alert. I haven't seen, there's a little skunk. I haven't seen him for a while. He was back. Everyone's just coming back.
Very cute.
So, I get nervous about the skunk, though, obviously, because I'm like, I don't want to get sprayed.
But yeah, we don't have to worry about that. No skunks here.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought about that. Mm. I don't really go outside at night, though, so should be fine. I worry because Mike works nights. So sometimes when, like, the garbage has to go out, he'll take out the garbage when he gets home from work at, like, 11-ish or something. And I'm like, I text him, I'm like, look out for the skunk. He was just on the camera, like, a half hour ago. So I was like, that's the last thing I need is for Mike to get, like, sprayed by the skunk.
I guess the one good thing about the weather getting colder is that the snakes do all go away. They all go and hibernate or wherever they go for winter. So you don't generally see snakes here in winter. So at least that's one thing, one plus.
Yeah, no cicadas.
Yeah, they've been gone for a little while, actually. I feel like they really do have like a 6-week lifespan, like around then, because it feels like they were really, really a lot. And then for the last few weeks, they've been gone. So,
yeah. Do you have any plans this weekend? Anything fun?
Well, I am going on my vacation on Saturday. So it's Thursday here now, Thursday morning. Saturday morning, I fly out to Thailand for a week. So that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's like, I don't want to jinx myself, but the weather there has been pretty horrific. Like, it's been torrential, heavy rain warnings. But basically, as soon as I get there on Saturday, I'm just looking now to make sure it hasn't changed. So in case I really am jinxing myself. But yeah, from Saturday onwards, it's sunny and hot and beautiful. So fingers crossed, we'll be lucky with the weather.
How long is the flight for you?
Well, because we're going to Koh Samui, which is an island, so you can't fly there directly from Australia. So like to Bangkok, I could fly direct, but and because I booked my flights on points, I had to go just random places. So I'm flying Sydney to Hong Kong, which I think is around 9.5 hours. And then I have a little stopover. Long. Yeah, a little stopover. And I think it's like another 3 hours from Hong Kong to Koh Samui. And then on the way back, I go Koh Samui to Singapore and then Singapore to Sydney. So all up, I think it's usually around like, it's 12 hours-ish. I feel like Sydney to Bangkok isn't that long, but because of you have to switch planes and you can't get there directly, that's a little bit longer. So,
are you like flying with a friend or alone?
No, I'm going by myself. So we're all going at different times.
My God, you're such a traveler.
Because some of them are coming from England, because that's why we're going to Thailand, because it's kind of like a halfway meeting point. So two are coming from London, and then because I'm going like, you probably don't want to hear all my details, but I'm going Saturday to the next Sunday so I can be back in time for work, whereas some of them, they're coming Monday and then leaving later that week. Otherwise, for me, my work days, I would have missed too much work. So I am flying there and back by myself. I am actually excited about that. I'm excited about just getting on the plane, watching a movie, having some peace, having no one be able to contact me for a solid 9 hours.
It's funny. I was just thinking, I'm like, no wonder why people in the reviews who bully me say I'm such a friggin' loser, because like Olivia just travels alone with her friends that are from London and all over the world. She has friends in the United States. She's just going all over doing all things. And I'm just like, well, you know, I'm just sitting here in the dark in my living room.
To be fair, the person who lives in London did move there from Australia. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's why. But, yeah.
But just funny, you're always, like, you just seem like you have such the life.
I feel like it's been a while since I've done my, like, the last big trip I did was probably going to New York for your, like, big solo trip was going to New York for your wedding. So,
was Japan before that?
That was before that. That was, oh no, that was, but that wasn't solo trip anyway. I went with my husband and some friends for that.
Oh, so, true.
Yeah, like a lone trip. That was, yeah. I haven't really done many alone trips since I've had kids. I did a lot before kids, but, yeah.
Do you get nervous?
Yeah, no. Like I am a bit nervous because I've never, even though I'm only going to transit through Hong Kong, I have 2 hours at the airport there. I'm like, shit, do I need a visa? And it's telling me I don't. And I'm like, God, I hope Google isn't lying to me.
Yeah, and do a lot of people speak English, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I think in Thailand, and I've been to Thailand in the past, but not since kids, so not for like at least 12 or 13, or probably even longer, 13 years, but I feel like it's always pretty easy in those type of countries where it's very tourist-oriented to get along. Like even in Japan, where there's a lot of them don't speak English, there's always Google Translate, and that's so helpful. You know, you can even just hold your phone up and it tells you what an item is if you don't know. So I'm not too nervous about the communication issue. I don't know. I am, like, yes, nervous. I feel like when I get to the airport, I'll be a little bit more nervous, but more just excited and hoping it all goes smoothly.
God, I wish. I'm like, she's so brave.
Yeah, I don't know. Because when I, like, before I was married, I did a lot of traveling by myself. Like, I went to Egypt by myself and all that.
That's
and
then
when
crazy.
It was pretty crazy, actually. I remember I got so sick, too. I just had to, and it was, like, 1,000 degrees. It was June or July, so it was so hot, and I was so sick. All I could do was lie in the bathtub of my hotel because it was cold, and I could just, like, have water washing over me, and I just couldn't move. And I'm like, I can't even imagine now if my kid did that when they were 20 or 21. I'd be like, oh, my God, I'll come and get you. But anyway,
you could do a whole podcast episode just talking about like all your different travels from your life.
It was all such a long time ago though. Like I did a lot when I was young and not so much since I've had kids, but now they're a little bit older, it's easier for me to, you know, they're a bit more self-sufficient, so my husband will be fine with them, you know, they can get themselves ready. It's not as difficult as when they were little.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you want to see what Thailand's like, I'll post some photos on TCS Olivia Instagram if you're interested.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Para mi familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
All right, so we've got some updates, two updates on some cases that we've covered recently.
Yeah, so usually if you guys have listened in the past, we kind of try and do maybe like a few little updates and do a general episode that's on one topic, like we do Mums Who Murder or like something like that.
A potpourri.
This is a little bit of a mixed bag. So we have a few more updates than usual to talk about, and then we'll talk about kind of another separate cases that are on topic, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit different. We'll be back to normal format this week. It's just how it's worked out, because I feel like a lot of these updates are very timely and we wanted to share them with you as they kind of happen as quick as we can.
Yeah, it's kind of like similar to our Patreon format sometimes.
Yeah.
Where it's like a lot of current stuff, but then it's kind of a mixed bag of everything. So we're going to talk, we got a little bit more info on the episode we just did last about Adan Manzano. We just talked about him last episode. He was the sports reporter who was found dead in his Louisiana hotel room days before the Super Bowl. It turns out that they discovered he had Xanax in his system at the time of his death, which he wasn't prescribed. The toxicology report came back with that.
Yeah, so they haven't really released any information about how much was in his body or if there was anything else. So it doesn't really give us a whole lot of other information apart from that it wasn't prescribed to him and they don't know how he ingested the drug or when or anything like that. But this was all given at a bail hearing for Danette Colbert, who's the suspect probably in the case.
Yeah, but if you remember when we did talk about the episode, the other man who was a victim of her said that he felt something was slipped into his drink. So could this have been a similar thing? Because I know growing up, I've known people who drank on Xanax, I'm saying it weird because I'm kind of congested, on purpose to get like super messed up. And if you drink on it, it's like an automatic blackout. It messes you up for sure.
Yeah. We in the episode 2 we spoke about David Butler, who was the man who said that he had also been drugged and he had like over $100,000 stolen or attempted to be stolen by Danette. He actually emailed us after the episode.
I know.
I should read it out quickly.
Yeah.
Might as well. So he wrote, "Thank you for keeping this story alive. I truly appreciate your dedication to it. I hope you'll continue to follow it in the coming weeks and months. Danette drugged me and left me for dead. In my opinion and based on my experience, she is extremely dangerous and should not be free. Thankfully, the district attorney handling my case is set to revoke her probation this week. I firmly believe that if the judge had not suspended her sentence, Adan and the other two men currently under investigation may still be alive today." So they are investigating other possible cases where men have died after allegedly being drugged by Danette. I guess it's kind of important to note that she hasn't been charged in Adan's death yet. She's just been charged with fraud and financial related things in terms of stealing his credit card and using that. So it sounds like there is a much wider investigation happening into things that she may have been involved in.
Yeah, and I agree with him. I think that if she was punished more severely for what happened with him, like this might not have happened. We also got some messages from people just saying like similar things, not specifically with her, but similar things that happened with like people's brothers or other men in their lives where you don't think about it, but men do get drugged, usually for different reasons than women get drugged. I guess not always, but the people who messaged us said it was the same thing where someone was attempting to rob them, essentially.
And I've seen a few messages from people where say it's sometimes a little bit different when a man gets drugged because they're more embarrassed to come forward or ashamed.
You know,
like it's almost a bit emasculating, which I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's how they feel. Like, they're like, wow, I let this happen to me. You know, no one will believe me. Like that's
well, they're like, nobody hears about men getting drugged because no one talks about it.
And like, and I also think a lot of the times people doubt themselves. They're like, well, maybe I really was that drunk or maybe it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's all victims.
Yeah.
Oh, I said that in the episode that I feel like that's what Danette kind of hopes to get away with. Like, I don't necessarily think she was trying to maybe kill him, but wanted to like rob him or whatever. And it happened to lead to his death because obviously there's no science behind like drugging people and the amount to like do it without killing someone on her end. But I feel like her hope was just that he'd wake up and be too embarrassed about what happened.
Not remember. Yeah.
To report that she robbed him. So yeah, that's what we know about that one so far. If there's any other updates between now and then, I'll try to throw in a clip here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Sebastian or?
Yeah. So just one other kind of update that I feel like it came around quickly is that literally today, that on the day of recording, marks the 1 year anniversary of Sebastian Rogers disappearance. So we did an episode on him last year. He was a 15-year-old teen who disappeared from Tennessee. He was last seen by his mother on the night of the 25th of February, but she reported him missing on the 26th. He was 15, as we mentioned, when he went missing. He would now be 16. Just as a little bit of a refresher, he left his home with no shoes. He was possibly wearing dark clothing and maybe had a flashlight. 12 months later, there have been no confirmed sightings or leads in finding him. So this is an unbelievable case, how a 15-year-old kid with essentially no means can disappear and remain gone for a year. Like, I know a lot of people have questioned the parents and the step-parents' involvement. Is something being covered up? The Amber Alert for Sebastian is still in place. A year is just such a long time for a kid to, and especially for there to have been no confirmed sightings. I don't know. We had the discussion in the episode as well. Like, how is this even possible? I guess he could have gone to meet someone. Is that person still hiding him? But a year is a long time for this to have been going on.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that it's been a year and there's really been very minimal updates at all, especially for now. It's been a long time since there's been any updates at all.
Well, there was one kind of an update this last week or so, and they've basically found some surveillance from a street near Sebastian's house, and it showed someone, like, but when I say someone, I use that term very loosely, someone walking in the area around the time he disappeared. But I'm like, this doesn't show anything. It could be Sebastian.
It might not even be related.
Or it could just be someone out for a walk. Like, it's actually nothing. I guess it's just new footage that shows there was some movement. But even when I was watching it and it's got like a circle around this apparent movement, I'm like it is, you know, when they highlight it and they emphasize it, you can see. But I'm like, this is crazy that this is all they've got after a year.
And isn't this the one where they had video and it was just like two little lights or something?
Yeah,
people are like, it could be flashlights, but you can't really tell at all.
So, like, there has been a big media push, obviously, because it's the 1 year anniversary, but essentially nothing new. No new information, just like reiterating that the investigation is still ongoing, that the Amber Alert is still active. He's like, the parents have given interviews saying they're still looking for him. It's mind-blowing to me. It almost reminds me a little bit of the Andrew Gosden case. Do you remember we did that one where he was in the UK, but we know that he took a train. So just as a, like, he was around the same age. Let me just find a thing quickly. He left his house. He kind of lied to his parents and went into London. He was 14. Mm-hmm. So a little bit younger than Sebastian, but he has still been missing since 2007. So he has never been found. There was CCTV of him on, like, getting out at a train station, and there were some arrests made in the last few years, but nothing seems to have come of those arrests. But it's just crazy that these teenagers can, I feel like a lot of the time it's when they're lured and someone then does something to them after that, or in Sebastian's case, maybe there's some familial involvement. I don't know, but I just find it unbelievable that someone can hide if he is hiding for that long.
Yeah, it's just crazy in this day and age that it still happens, because there's so many different ways to track people. Yeah. I guess it's why it more so happens with kids in a way, because they're less connected online.
Yeah.
It's not like they have a car and a phone and a watch and all these different things that can track them, but
even
it's just crazy.
Bank accounts, like, they have less of that, that, you know, there's just less available to them as teenagers and children.
Yeah, and if it's like with adults, you can assume kind of like what social medias they have or what websites they go to, because like as an adult you're generally not trying to hide it, whereas a kid, if you're being sneaky, you're trying to hide that from your parents. So like the parents and people closest to them might not even know what website or social media or different games that you could talk to people on that he could have been accessing, because if he was lured by someone, they could have been telling him, like, make sure you don't tell anyone, make sure you clear this, make sure you do this. Whereas, of course, the police could probably find it, just seems a little more difficult.
Yeah. And, like, the FBI are involved. It's not like this is just a case that's gone under the radar. I feel like it's quite a high-profile case. There's a lot of investigation involved. It's crazy that they haven't been able to find him.
No, and then there was those like not fake sightings, but those sightings that people thought was him, but then the police said it wasn't him. So, all right. And then we have another update. People have been messaging us to discuss about Aisha Degree. We did a whole episode on her. So if you don't know her story, definitely go back and listen to it because it's a very interesting case. It's been going on forever. I mean,
25 years now.
That's so crazy because when I see the date, I was about to be like, this happened in the year 2000. But I'm still like, that wasn't that long ago. Yeah, no. 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So just as like a quick refresher, Aisha was 9 years old when she went missing from Shelby, North Carolina on February 14th, 2000. And her remains have never been found. So we just passed the 25-year mark in her case on Valentine's Day. We first did the episode on her story in September 2024, if you want to go back and listen to it.
And this Friday marks 25 years since Aisha Degree disappeared from her Cleveland County home in the middle of the night. She was just 9 years old. The FBI promises that even a quarter century later, they have not given up on their search. The agency releasing a new video yesterday from investigators. Among them, Lieutenant Jordan Bowen. He says he was just a year older than Aisha when she disappeared, and growing up around the case makes the search even more personal.
When I became in charge of the investigation or overseeing the investigation, then it makes it hit home so much more because now I have that vested interest in to playing a role in helping bring the closure to the family that they really need.
Well, back in September, investigators uncovered new evidence from several scenes across Cleveland County. Among the items was a green car similar to the one investigators say was connected to her disappearance. Authorities say the new discoveries lead them to believe that she was killed and her death was covered up.
I would recommend listening because I feel like I didn't realize how much of an update this was going to be. There's been a lot happened just in the last few weeks, and there are a lot of players in this story. So it might seem like we're just rushing over that, but we have given the whole backstory in that other episode and spoken about the investigation basically up until September 24, 2024. So this is just the most recent updates. If you don't know the backstory, definitely go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, and definitely go listen because it seems like this case could hopefully be solved soon or at least in the right direction. I bet more information is going to keep coming out as time goes on. So if you want to know what's going on, the easiest way is to know the background so you know who these people are. So over the last year, there's like been more movement in this case when it was pretty much a cold case, at least to the public, for a very, very long time. In September 2024, Roy and Connie Dedmond were officially identified as suspects in the case. In February 2025, new court documents were released with some more information on the recent developments and things that are going on. Lizzie Grace Dedmond Foster, a lot of names, but we will just call her Lizzie going forward, is one of the daughters of Roy and Connie. And it's been revealed that she was deceptive on a lie detector test when she was asked if she concealed information regarding Aisha. And Lizzie was 16 years old at the time that Aisha disappeared. Her sister Sarah, Lizzie's sister Sarah, is also involved in the newest information. She was 15 at the time. And their other sister, Anna Lee, was 13 at the time. So they're kind of the ones that we're going to be talking about the most. Roy is still alive. He is now in his 80s, so he is pretty elderly. Roy and his family have denied any involvement in Aisha's case. So Anna Lee's DNA was found on some items in Aisha's backpack, and a car that the Dedmonds owned was also seized. So just a quick refresher, Aisha has never been found, but they did find her book bag on the side of the road with some random items in it. And they'll mention there was a shirt in there that, like, what didn't seem like it was Aisha's, and like a little book, some other things. I think it was like a Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or
New a boy Kids band. On the Block, wasn't it?
Yeah. A boy band shirt. Sure, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
So it seemed weird because that wasn't what she went missing in. Definitely was a mystery in the case, but there was some of Anna Lee's DNA, which is interesting. And so the car that was seized bears a resemblance to one that was also kind of linked to the case at the time. People said they saw this certain type of car in the area around that time that Aisha was walking down the street. So this car, and it was quite a distinctive
car.
Yeah, it was like a boxy old car.
Green. I think it was green. And then basically they released images of the car at the time. And then the car, a very, very similar car, was seized from the Dedman property last year.
Yeah. So some interesting circumstances. So according to the new court documents, Lizzie, one of the other sisters, was seen in the mid-2000s at a house party sobbing and bawling while extremely intoxicated.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Menards' 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Thad Melantine is the person who reported this, and he occasionally frequented bars and house parties with the sisters. He said that Lizzie made several statements admitting to killing Aisha DeGray. The warrant said he told investigators that he specifically heard her say, "I killed Aisha DeGray." The warrant further states that upon hearing the statement by Lizzie, her sister Sarah came up and became stern/angry and told Lizzie to shut the fuck up. He said that Sarah grabbed Lizzie's head during the exchange, and he thought that this behavior was strange because Sarah was usually calm and nice. So it seemed like it was pretty serious to them. He told police that he is confident in his memory, and he took a polygraph test regarding his testimony and passed. Lizzie was contacted by authorities on February 10th, 2025, and asked to take a polygraph test. As part of the test, she was asked whether she was concealing information that was found to be deceptive. Following that interview, warrant said Lizzie called her ex-husband and talked to him for more than 45 minutes, and the warrant said that he has been uncooperative in the case. Interesting ex-husband. I wonder if they talk often.
It sounds like they must still be close, just based on what we're going to go through now. So yeah, I guess maybe it's interesting that he's uncooperative. I wonder what he, if it does come of it, what he could be charged with, maybe withholding information. I don't know, but
yeah, maybe he's just like, I don't want to be involved.
Yeah, yeah.
The documents mentioned a text message from Lizzie's ex-husband who said he was sorry for what their family was going through. Lizzie texted her ex-husband and said, "I'm just so worried, so, so worried. I mean, it's a nightmare that's going to keep getting worse. I can see nothing good happening anytime soon, and I'm an optimist." She later told him, "There is no way this is going to be okay." The warrants also indicate that when the Dedman family were informed last year that the searches would be undertaken on their properties, Roy and his daughters called each other throughout the day. The document outlines text messages between the sisters on September 10th, 2024. So these are the texts from that day. Annalise said, "I'm so sorry. I just said all that." So this seems like it was after a phone call or something.
Yeah.
And Annalise then said again, "I'm just in complete shock." Lizzie said, "It's okay. I'm leaving school."
And just to add in, Lizzie worked at a school or up until recently. There are rumors that she's been let go or kind of stood down from her job. But when she says, "I'm leaving school," that she worked at a school and she wasn't in school. She was working at a school, I believe.
Yeah. According to investigators, over the next days, there are several messages between the daughters and another woman in reference to being approached by law enforcement regarding this case. So when Sarah says in a text, "They think it's our shirt, it's not her shirt," which I thought was interesting because I remember always being like, "Whose shirt is that?"
Mm.
Sarah said, "Her mom said it wasn't hers." Sarah said, "I don't remember that shirt. I'm scared, though. Dad is probably going to be a huge suspect." Sarah said, "This is a nightmare. I'm, like, shaking and can't walk now either." Annalise said, "Lizzie, you don't need to be talking to anyone. I'm at the lawyer's office. They advise we should all not talk without representation." Lizzie says, "This is going to get nothing but worse. I'm talking to my doctor at 5 to get something for my nerves. I'm just so worried, so, so worried. I mean, it's a nightmare that's going to keep getting worse. I can see nothing good happening anytime soon, and I'm an optimist." In court records, the text messages continue with the three women expressing feelings of anxiety and not initially speaking with authorities. Lizzie said, "What's going to happen to me since I wouldn't talk to them? I'm afraid it's going to get worse. Well, he told me it's going to." Sarah, "I know, girl, I'm a disaster. I think if they come at you again, you just go and be compliant. That's what I'm planning on doing." Lizzie, "I think so too. Honestly, I mean, I want to do what Dad says." More texts included in the warrant revealed that Lizzie told Sarah that she wanted to do what Dad says. A few messages later, Sarah said, "You don't want something we do or say to impact him, but we also can't be living like this either." Lizzie texted Sarah on September 12, 2024, and indicated that she believed she was a suspect. She said, "I just talked to David Teddy." That's the attorney. She said, "The theory is I did it. It was an accident. Covered it up." The latest search warrants were dated February 13, 2025. In the documents, authorities requested to search both Lizzie and Sarah's phones as well as Roy's. Documents state that investigators believe further evidence may be stored on the Apple iPhone 14 Pro that belongs to Lizzie and believe it could show crimes of felony obstruction of justice. Records state the date of the search as February 13, 2025. The search of the seized electronic device will include text messages, phone call logs, notes, internet history, social media applications, pictures and/or videos, emails, and more. Search warrant records were officially signed off on Tuesday, February 18, 2025. Search warrants were also obtained for an Apple iPhone 11 Pro that belongs to Roy and an Apple iPhone 11 that is owned by Sarah, according to the documents. A former FBI agent has spoken about the texts, and he said, "These are really interesting text messages. I don't know many people who would write those kind of text messages if they had nothing to do with this incident."
Yeah, I do find the messages interesting. Like, they don't seem to have been aware or thinking about the fact that their messages could be tracked.
But I know.
It isn't essentially a confession as such. Like, shit, they're going to find out what I did. It's more so... like, I don't know. It's kind of
they're
weird
like scrambling.
They are scrambling, but they still don't actually admit to the crime. They don't, you know, which is what you would think they do based on these stupid text messages, which they shouldn't have sent anything at all, because I know some of them are incriminating. But
why isn't their lawyer telling them not to text?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess, do you know what? One thing I feel like plays a part in it, and if they are involved, they've gotten away with it for 25 years. So maybe they're just a little bit cocky and arrogant. And they're like, shit. Now they're coming down on us. What are we going to do?
Yeah, especially when they know they're being investigated.
Yeah. And they were being investigated prior to these texts. Like, these texts happened, you know, I don't know. It's silly. It was very dumb. They shouldn't have made these texts or had these documented communications. But it is interesting that there isn't, as such, so far a confession, or, God, they're going to find out what we did, or something along those lines. Like, they do allude to, you know, maybe when she says, like, the theory is it's an accident, it's being covered up, but they don't. They're not super, super specific or give confirmed details about anything.
I'm still just very curious as to what happened, because the whole thing is just so bizarre. Like, they clearly know more, at least, if they weren't directly involved. I don't know if it was, like, something their dad did, but then it seems like they definitely want to protect their dad. How did they end up getting her? Because it's like, Aisha left in the middle of the night and was walking down the road. How did this family get involved?
Aisha was 9. So if Lizzie is the one who's apparently crying at this party and says, I killed her, Lizzie was 16 at the time. So, yeah, I don't know.
What were they doing?
It's very, very strange. Unless there was some wild whole family involvement. Why? Like, I guess it could have been like a, hey, look what I can do. I can cat. At the time, catfishing probably wasn't a term, but, you know, I can lure her out and we can make fun of, like, I don't know, whatever the stupid reasoning was. But I can't figure it out. Maybe they are covering up something for the dad, but then why is Lizzie crying at a party saying, I killed her? I don't know.
Yeah. And also, like, if I found out my dad killed a little girl, would I want to protect him? I don't know.
Yeah. And even now, like, 25 years later, like, you sent me the Reddit, I think, where basically people were cranky and mad that Lizzie hadn't been stood down from her education role, like, in the education field, which she has now. But, like, if there's something to, like, if you could protect yourself, wouldn't this now be the time to do it? If your dad was the one who did it, maybe you would, I don't know.
It's also like, I get wanting to protect your father if he did do something. But at this point, it's also like, he's 80 years old. He's really not going to get much of a punishment. Anytime I see a person who's that old get convicted of some type of crime, they don't really get, it's not like they get thrown in prison. Usually it's like, well, they're really old, so they're just going to be in trouble. But it seems like there's more to it, because at this point, it's like, why are you protecting your dad?
Yeah, I don't know. And, like, also I have questions, like, why did this dad take so long to come forward with this information? Maybe he just thought it was, like, a drunken, you know, something drunk that she said. But now that he knows that they're being investigated, he's like, well, maybe it actually was more than that.
It's interesting, like, nothing's coming out about Roy's involvement. Like, maybe he just doesn't text because he's 80. I don't know. But we're finding out a lot more about the daughters, the sisters.
And I do find it interesting, too, that the focus mainly seems to be on Lizzie and Sarah and not on Annalee. Like, Annalee was the younger one.
She was
13.
Young.
So I think they were 13, 15, and 16. So she wasn't too much younger. But a lot of the focus seems to be on Lizzie and Sarah, which obviously they must have a reason for that. But it's, just interesting to see what they're focusing on.
I'm just so curious, because I'm like, so who picked her up? Or how did she get with them? Like, did these girls drive at the time? I guess they could have, maybe, but I don't know. It's just a lot of questions. I hope we get more answers.
Definitely. We are going to discuss two cases now of social scammers. We have done some episodes in the past, and I feel like it's been highlighted a little bit more recently because of, maybe it's just for me, because I watched all of Apple Cider Vinegar about Belle Gibson. We did a Belle Gibson episode a little while ago, and we've spoken in a lot of episodes too about how basically social media is a lie. What people want to portray on social media often isn't reality, so always be wary of that. You know, people's lives may look amazing and glamorous and fantastic, but the two cases we're going to discuss today show that A, you should be wary of people on social media, and that, you know, it's a lie most of the time.
Yeah, definitely.
The first case is about Alabama woman Amy Diane Elmore Downs. So she was 57 when this all happened. Her alias is online Slot 7.0 or Slot Machine Queen. So she used her social media popularity as a way to encourage her followers to basically send her money. They sent it to her through Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. And she said that she was raising money for various charities, but she has allegedly taken $1 million of donations for charities that didn't exist and put it into her own personal account. So Amy's social media has since been taken down, which is sad because I haven't heard of her before this case and I wanted to check it out.
I hadn't either.
But it's all been taken down. In October 2024, the Limestone County Sheriff's Office launched an investigation following reports of charity fraud. They said over a three-year period, she took donations for charitable causes after she made many pleas on her channel. At one point, Amy was even nominated for an award for influencers who use their platforms for good, which is very Belle Gibson, you know, using it to reach the people and do good things.
Yeah.
She was interviewed on the red carpet once at, it looks like it says the, is it Green Choice? Career Choice? Career Choice. At the Career Choice Awards. She said, my name is Amy and my handle is Slot 7.0. I do DV help for immediate danger DV victims and homeless. So I feel like that doesn't sound legit, but that's what she's telling people.
Very anyway. Vague. But
yeah, very vague. I just help, you know, random people. After authorities began their investigation, it was determined that Amy had actually not held any form of employment since 2020. They found no legitimate charity organization registered under her name or with the Alabama Attorney General's office. As we mentioned, she raised almost $1 million, which she put into her own accounts. In December 2024, Amy was arrested and the sheriff's office released a statement. It says, as a result of the findings, probable cause was established to arrest Amy on charges of 7 counts of charitable fraud first degree and 3 counts of tax evasion. Her bond has been set at $1.125 million. The investigation remains ongoing and additional charges may be forthcoming. Then they've asked anyone who they think may be a victim of Amy's to come forward. It says the Limestone County Sheriff's Office urges anyone with information or concerns about potential fraudulent activity involving Amy to come forward. If you believe you may have been a victim or have relevant information, please email the Criminal Investigation Division. So this all happened the end of last year. She did bond out. I can't find anything else about what's happening with this. I've looked at the Alabama court records. I even got Marissa, who is our friend, to have a look because she's in Alabama. We can't find anything about what is happening with her ongoing criminal case. I'm assuming maybe they're just trying to gather all the information and it's been pushed out and nothing has kind of been set yet, but $1 million is a lot of money to have been able to scam and then take for your own. So I feel like this is probably going to be a very wide investigation that will take a while for them to complete.
Yeah, I really wish your social media was still up because I just would love to see like what type of platform she had to raise all this money, and I've like never even heard of her.
When you Google, like I Googled her handles and I saw like Perez Hilton did kind of a thing on her. And even like in the photo of her from the red carpet, she looks very flamboyant. Like she's got this white platinum hair that she's
looks like a magician.
Into, yeah, a very bouffant hairdo. She's wearing glitter and sparkles and sequins. And, you know, she looks like she would have been very flamboyant. But then you see her mugshot and she's obviously
average.
Totally different. Yeah, just an average middle-aged woman who looks like anyone you would see down the street.
Should say she would have been like your crazy sparkly grandma.
Yeah. So interesting that a woman who basically, I'm assuming her social media was around slot machines, like my husband loves watching those, where people play the slots and win or lose or whatever. I'm assuming that's what hers was about. And then she managed to scam $1 million from people.
I don't think I'd be donating money to someone who clearly probably had a gambling addiction.
And also the person who's like, yeah, I just donate to DV people.
Just DV and homeless, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills. so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
All right, so the last case we are going to discuss today is a bit of a silly crime. I know we always discuss, mostly discuss very serious cases like murder and abuse and things like that. This is still a crime, so I feel like don't come at us. It is a silly crime where people weren't hurt for once, which I guess is a good thing. But it just goes to show you that social media is absolutely a lie. The person involved in this is still very active on their social media. I'm just on her Instagram now. She's posted stories 6 hours ago. So very, very active. It's about a woman named Marlena Velez. So she was 22 in November 2024. At that time, she had almost 300,000 followers on TikTok. Her TikTok and her Instagram are still up. She's got 14,000 followers on Instagram. Her bio says Anastasia and Isaiah's mom, Psalm 46:5. Then she's got her management email, and then she's got her like Linktree link, her Amazon storefront, her Walmart storefront. So she's got all that. It's all still up. She posts basically every single day still. Mm. On November 20th, police responded to a Target store in Cape Coral in Florida, which is where Wade Wilson was from as well. I'm sure Cape Coral.
Yeah.
Is that his name? Wade Wilson?
Yeah. Yes.
The call was made regarding a past theft that had occurred on October 30th. The statement said loss prevention at Target stated that on October 30th, 2024, an unknown female entered the store and selected items for sale. Once at the self-checkout register, the female suspect did not scan the item's barcodes, instead scanning a false barcode with cheaper prices. In total, 16 items of miscellaneous goods and clothing were stolen with a retail value of around $500, which was verified by officers via Target's security cameras. So there's actually footage of this person stealing the items. Like, she's doesn't look as glamorous as she does on her social media, but there's footage about it. The police made an appeal publicly for information. An anonymous caller reported the theft after Marlena made a post about her Target visit on social media. She had filmed herself with a get ready with me to go to Target.
And she had get filmed ready herself with me to go steal from Target.
She had also filmed herself inside the Target store. There's screen grabs, because she's obviously taken down this specific video, but there's screen grabs of her loading up the bags from Target in the trunk of her car. Like, when she was very ballsy and brazen.
When I didn't, like, know the whole story yet, I saw the screen grabs, and I was like, wow, is this, like, body camera footage? The stores have great cameras to see her, like, loading it up in her car, because I didn't think she was, like, actually an idiot and, like, filming herself while doing this.
Yeah. So it goes on to, the court documents go on to say that after this anonymous call, officers then found her TikTok account, which documents her getting ready in the same outfit and glasses to go to Target. She documents herself picking out items inside the store and placing them in the car after exiting the store. Malina appears to be a content creator with almost 300,000 followers. So they looked at social media posts that she'd made, they compared them to the images on the CCTV, and they confirmed that Malina was the suspect. She was first arrested for theft on November 21, 2024, and she was charged with petty theft. On November 30th, police went to a Target again. I'm not sure if it was the same store, but to another Target store in the area. They met with loss prevention staff about a separate instance of theft from November 20th. Police were shown CCTV. So this is the day before that she was arrested. So she was arrested November 21. On November 20th, she was still stealing. Police were shown CCTV and recognized Malina, as well as a man who had a unique tattoo and had been seen in her social media posts. In this incident, Malina was accused of failing to scan 16 items worth $225 while going through the self-checkout. So when I was kind of looking for more information on this, the Cape Coral Police Department actually have a reel, a Facebook reel of this whole incident. It shows Malina and the man walking in with their two kids. They're going to the self-checkout. They've got a whole cart full of stuff. And basically what she does is she gets the items, but then she has the fake barcode. So she holds the barcode in front of the real barcode and scans it. So let's just say the barcode was for $2 instead of $20. It looks like she's scanning the items, but she's scanning them for a much lesser price.
And it shocks me that, like, people still do stuff like this. People are always like, it's so easy to steal from self-checkout, blah, blah, blah. But places like Target and Walmart, and it's a known thing, they have, like, serious loss prevention. They have this whole, like, little secret room. That's literally someone's whole job, is to watch people in the store and take note of them. And just because they don't arrest you or do anything about that time, they're adding it up, especially if you, like, if you do it once and you're done, like, fine, you'll probably get away with it if it's a little tiny bit. But if you keep doing it and the dollar amount is high enough, that's when they confront you, because when the dollar amount is above a certain amount, that's when they can, like, charge you with an actual crime. So that's when the police get involved, and that's when it's a thing. But if you keep doing it, you're going to get caught.
It's so interesting too, because you know when you go to those self-checkouts and they've got that real ugly camera where you can see your face, and it kind of, so in this one, obviously the camera points down, you can see exactly what she's scanning. You can see, you can, like, it's clear as day. It's not even, you know, some CCTV is a bit blurry and, you know, whatever. Yeah. This is clear as day. It looks like someone has just been there filming. She holds the barcode up. She pretends to scan it. She holds the fake barcode and keeps scanning. So very, very clear. I feel like in Florida, they always do this. They always release information and footage like this. They just really give no fucks about whatever anyone thinks, and they release all the information.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually one time stole from Target accidentally. I'm like, putting myself on blast, because I was doing the self-checkout and I had like a couple little, it wasn't like a crazy amount, a couple little things underneath like a big thing, and I just totally forgot about, because I don't know, I was probably feeling overwhelmed, because I get overwhelmed in stores sometimes. But I like didn't scan any of the little stuff that was on the bottom and like hidden. And so I went out and I was putting stuff in my car, and when I picked up the big thing, I saw these like six little makeup things, and I was like, I was like, oh no, I didn't scan any of these. And I was literally like waiting for someone to come out and like drag me back into the store. And I had a moment of being like, what do I do? Should I go back in the store? Should I go pay for them? I feel like shit. But then I was also like, no, if I go back in, then they're going to know and it's going to turn into a thing. And I was like, just throw them in the car and leave. And I just threw them in the car and left.
Get out of here.
I honestly don't think I've been back to that Target. Granted, it is a little far for me to go to, but you know, I'm probably in the clear now. That was a couple of years ago, but I was still like, oh my God, what did I do?
So after that incident, Malina was charged with another count of petty theft and was taken to Lee County Jail, where she ended up being released on a $500 bond. So some very different crimes here. The first one was over a $1 million bond. This is a $500 bond. Obviously, this is a petty crime, but I just think it's so interesting, the kind of disparity between what she's actually doing and what she's displaying on social media.
Yeah, like displaying like the perfect life. Everything's perfect. Yeah. She's like got this aesthetic, but really she's just stealing from
She's got the very beige aesthetic, like her house, you know, like, which like a lot of influencers do, like white and beige and stone color, like just, I'll just deviate from the story for a minute. Like her last TikTok is, and even in my life, she's like posting herself pouring a glass of wine, shutting the curtains, like all very demure and very classy and tasteful, when what she's actually doing is anything but.
Are there any comments about it? Like,
no, but when I even read the comments, I don't know if people just don't know or they don't care, but they're like, where did you get that cutting board? Like, it's just basically stuff that people usually ask influencers. I guess she's probably deleting and getting rid of all the comments, the negative comments.
She probably has, like, a filter on for certain words.
Yeah. So these two incidents are not Marlena's first brushes with crime. When she was 17 in 2019, she was arrested by the Cape Coral PD and was charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle. The Cape Coral police made a statement about Marlena's target arrest. A woman posted and said, "She stole my daughter's car in high school. She totaled it, and I guess some people never learn." Newsweek contacted the woman for comment, and the woman's daughter, Amanda Santana, said that Marlena asked her to stay, asked to stay in the car during class until lunchtime, and they were friends. When Amanda went out to get the car, she said, "I went to the parking lot and I'm looking around for my car and I can't find it. So I double checked, looked on every side, and I was like, where is my car?" We figured out that she went and crashed my car and totaled it into a ditch at a Dunkin' on Cape Coral Parkway. Marlena was also arrested in July 2023. She stole $63 worth of stuff from kitchen items from a Walmart in Cape Coral. She pled no contest to the charges. She completed an anti-theft course and served 6 months of probation, which ended in October 2024. So right before she started stealing and was arrested again. I do find it interesting that she's got the Walmart storefront linked, even though she's out there stealing.
They're like, please. Yeah. But I would love to know what an anti-theft course is. Like what, like just don't steal?
Yeah, maybe like this is what will happen to you if you steal. I don't know. It's,
like just I would also fear.
So in terms of the theft charges, the petty theft is usually classified as a misdemeanor. People may be released on bail or bond, which she clearly has been, while awaiting trial. Penalties for petty theft can vary. They can include fines, community service, probation, or jail time. So just as a little interesting side note, this all happened October, November last year, where she had 300,000 followers. Now we are a few months further on, and she now has 460,000 TikTok followers. So that's a big percentage increase to gain in that small amount of time. So maybe for her, crime does pay. Maybe people saw the video and were like, yep, I'll look her up, and I don't know.
Some people are probably nosy.
Maybe these minor penalties might be worth it. But I just feel like it's such a good reminder. What you see on social media is generally not what is really happening.
Yes, and our favorite influencer scammer to talk about, Brittany Dawn. She'll be having a baby soon. I always forget she blocked us.
And we didn't even do anything. I think we just tagged her in like
a post. You tagged her?
She doesn't like us. She blocked us.
Yeah, like you're like, we didn't even do anything. I'm like, you tagged her in the post calling her a scammer.
Well, she is. She went to court. She was charged. And like, it's not like we just made it up.
This was before that too, I think. We were on to her. Well, like everyone knew about it, but it was before the state of Texas sued her, I'm pretty sure, right when they got into that. But yeah, she is one of my favorite hate follows. I don't actually follow her, but I'll check in every now and then.
And obviously, like we mentioned, like the $1 million crime is bad, and she obviously stole money from people who thought they were donating to a worthy cause. The second case is a little bit more silly and a little bit less impactful on other people, but still a crime nonetheless.
Yeah, just you really can't trust anyone online because they could either, one, be trying to steal from you, or two, they're just putting out like a totally fake image of themselves. Like social media is a highlight reel or people putting out how they want to be perceived. So yeah. I know sometimes it's hard to not compare yourself to other people, being like, oh, they like have the perfect life. Like they have all their shit together. Look at all how clean their kitchen is. My kitchen's a mess. Their mess could literally just be out of the frame. Because there's been times where I had to take a picture for social media or something if I wanted to. I'd be like, let me push all the shit over here right outside of the photo and get a photo right in this little tiny corner. So don't ever feel bad about yourself by comparing yourself to influencers and people online.
If you're ever having a bad day, just think at least you're not using fake barcodes to steal from Target.
If you're ever having a bad day, just know I'm probably also having a bad day and my kitchen is also a mess.
After this episode, we will be having a week off from our main episode. We do still have a Patreon episode coming out. So if you are missing us for the week, make sure you join us over on Patreon. It's like $1 a week US-ish. And that gets you a free episode or an extra episode every week, ad-free content. We have a cool chat community over there. So make sure you come and check that out. We will be back after the week off with more serious crime. We are planning to do Johnny Gosch, which is actually a really crazy cold case about a kid that was kidnapped. And there's some weird things going on, unless there's some more breaking news, like crime news in the meantime. But that is our current plan. We will be back with serious crime. So, you know, don't come at us about our silly social scammer story today.
Yeah, I mean, we really want to talk about the Aisha Degree update. A lot of people want us to talk about it, but obviously that's not enough for a whole episode, so we just did a little mixed bag so that we could get you guys some of the updates we wanted to talk about.
And I feel like too, you just need to break it up a little bit. Like we had a message recently saying, why are you doing all kid episodes? And we just didn't even realize that we had done a lot of episodes on crimes that involve children. You know, crime can be a lot. It can be heavy. You know, every day it's a lot. So I feel like, you know, it's still a crime. It's just not as serious as the ones we usually cover, but we will be back with our more serious and more involved crimes next time.
Yes, we say this as I'm literally uploading our Evelyn Boswell episode to be posted.
Yeah.
Another child. And Peep just came and joined us. She's sitting on my shoulder like a parrot. So Peep, you're late. We're done. She doesn't care. She's so annoying. Okay. All right. So that is it. As we've said, if you hear me fighting, it's because Peep is literally in my face. Everything will be on the blog, as always, at truecrimesocietyblog.com. Check us out on Patreon. Like Olivia just said, we've got a lot going on over there. If you want to see what we're up to, you can follow us on Instagram. Mine is stephsum_, Olivia's TCS Olivia. If you want to see her exciting trip, check her out over there. Check me out with my cats doing whatever I do. And make sure
you know you should add the way to make social media posts.
Yeah, my olive oil photo, I was literally like, this corner is perfect where you can't see anything else. And make sure you're following True Crime Society on Instagram, obviously, as well, because we post lots of updates there and all that. All the usual stuff. Subscribe, make sure you're following. If you could share to your Instagram stories or with some friends, it's a big help to us. And yeah, that's that. So thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
See ya.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.